This is the Morning Mayhem with Howard Feldman and the team. The best start to your day.
So we want to have a conversation about living vicariously, well, kind of living vicariously through our children. Do we do that? Is that something that we do? And what does it say about us? Yes, it's not an easy conversation to have, but I didn't promise you easy, did I? I never said this was only going to be that. Dr. Linda Blockland, chairperson at the Clinical Psychology Forum. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. I'm doing fine, thanks. I hope you are too.
I am indeed. So, you know, I often say to my kids, you know, you need to go and do that because how else can I live vicariously through you? So it really is about us compensating for the things that we maybe can't do, for our own insecurities, things we would have loved to have been allowed to do as kids. How do we manage that relationship? It's quite difficult, really.
It certainly is, and there are a lot of risks involved. And I think it's very easy to become blind to the way we push our children sometimes. And I think what's very important is that we can reflect on why we're doing this and what are our own motivations for doing this. What are we gaining from it? As you say, are we living vicariously through our children? So, yeah, it's really because what a parent wants to do ultimately is to nurture the child's own self-development and own interests, you know, so that they can discover their own talent.
Mm. Is it that, or is it, well, to some extent, you know, when I think back to one of the important conversations I had with my parents, I was finishing my undergraduate degree. I was very, very much involved in literature, comparative literature. I'd been accepted into my LLB, but then I had been offered a place overseas at a very prestigious university to study comparative literary theory at that university. And I went to my father and I said, what do you think about this idea? And he absolutely lost his mind. How are you going to support a family and what are you going to do? And it came from a perspective of a man who had grown up in extreme, extreme poverty, who had had to work to put himself through university, underground in the mines. For him, it was absolutely unfathomable that somebody would choose a career path that didn't offer a stable and safe living. So it said a lot about his own history. Whether it was the right decision for me or not, I'm not even sure it came into it. But for him, it was very, very clear that it was a terrible decision to go a route that maybe wouldn't be as financially secure or rewarding.
No, absolutely. I hear you. And of course, I understand where your father was coming from.
Of course.
There are those parents in those situations who come from that perspective. So ultimately, he is trying to do something for your benefit, for your best future. He could have gone about it in a different way. Yes.
Oh, no, I don't want to go into that. My father and I had a very interesting relationship, and that's a whole separate discussion. But the idea was just that he came from a perspective that, yes, when I look at it today, I fully understand where he came from. It was unfathomable to him. But I'd grown up financially in a family that was financially secure or comfortable. So therefore, I never had that as a thing. So it is almost, and don't we do that? I mean, that was just sort of an example of what I think we do as parents. We often want to alleviate the pain that we might have had as children by pushing our kids in a certain direction.
You're absolutely right. I think we all do that to some extent. You know, so often you hear people say, I'm never going to be like my father was. I'm going to be a completely different mother from what my mother was.
Absolutely.
But then you end up either not noticing that you're actually doing the same or doing something else in the other direction, which is just as hurtful for the child, or, you know, you're not actually achieving what you set out to achieve.
So how do we manage that as parents? Because we do it from a very young age when we push our kids to do 17 activities a week to make sure that they're fully rounded and play sport and have the friends and look pretty and.
Yeah. I think it basically comes down to being able to listen to your child, to be able to talk in a way that the child can then also talk back, expressing themselves and their own needs and wants. So it's really, it's about listening and getting in touch with the child while guiding the child, because it's not a question of, okay, you can do what you want and if you don't want to do it. study this, you can study whatever you like, because you do need to bring your wisdom as a parent, you know, to guide the child, but you also need to listen to the child.
Yeah. And as your kids get older, certainly as our kids are becoming adults, young adults, it becomes even more difficult, because in many ways I feel that we don't always even have the experience that they've had. We grew up in a different world than they have grown up with, in to some extent, in terms of technology and exposures and things like that. So it is quite difficult as parents to be able to guide your kids as we would like to.
You're right. It's really challenging, and it's absolutely true. I mean, with the technology that the kids are exposed to now, we don't actually even know a lot of what they're doing, or what they're being exposed to. But, you know, the fundamental values are there, and I think that's what we need to bear in mind.
It's interesting. I was going to ask you that, and you've actually said it before I even got to it, that isn't at the end of the day, isn't it about that? Isn't it about boiling it down to what the values of your family, maybe your religion, maybe your culture, whatever it would be, but the values that are important as a family and important for you and for your children and for those around you, boiling it down to that and looking to see how all of these things fit into that.
Yes, I completely agree with you, Howard. It really is about that. So, and then the parent also has to be aware of their own values to be able to get them across to the child and to integrate those values into their daily life, into the family life and the family culture. That's very important. It's not a question of, you know, talking the talk and then not actually carrying through with it.
Yeah, we often think that, and we have this discussion at home as well, is we, instead of looking at the little decisions or trying to guide the little decisions, maybe if we've taught our kids the right values and the right thought process and the right approach, then we've got to trust that they're going to make the right decisions based, or decisions that we're comfortable with based on that. That's all we really can do.
Exactly, precisely, yes. And I think that's really important, because sometimes children are going to make decisions that you feel are not necessarily the right ones, and you're going to have to trust them. You know, if you've given them those values and you've talked it through and you've really listened to them, sometimes you have to make that compromise with yourself.
Right, absolutely.
Just when they get older, you know. The little ones are different, but when they get older,
that's when it becomes seriously challenging. That is, unfortunately, where we do need to end the conversation. I'd love your reaction. 34519 or 0618951019. We were talking to Dr. Linda Blockland, the chairperson at the Clinical Psychology Forum. Are competitive parents compensating for their insecurities? How do we guide our children? I love this message from Gimple. He says, only in New Zealand would a bat identify as a bird. They're talking about kids news. It is 7:30. Good morning.